Well, good morning, good day, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for attending this session. I can see a lot of people from around the globe, from New Mexico, Netherlands, and maybe even Holland there. Great to have you on board. My name is Dan Jackson. I'm a technical specialist for business applications located here in Melbourne, Australia. And I got my colleague with me, Jackie. Jackie, you want to introduce yourself?
Thank you very much, Dan. And my name is Jackie. I'm a technical specialist and based out of Singapore. And welcome everyone on board of this session. I saw a lot of people from EMEA. Good morning to you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jackie. So today we've got a session that we want to present to you that's predominantly based around the learning module Managed Scheduling Options in Dynamics 365 for Field Service. For those of you that are actually attending or actually going through the process of educating yourself at the moment and following the Learn module, you can find the details of this module itself based on aka.ms/LRN247. So this is a completely interactive learning module. There's a lot of video content and practice exams and questions that are there to enhance your skills around the field service module collectively. What we're doing as part of this particular session is running an interactive sort of live session that enables you to engage with some of the content, but also you invite yourselves to interact with the chat session as well, to be able to ask some of the experts that are actually running this session, i.e. myself and Jackie, to be able to help you out with some of the concerns or questions you have around in and around this platform. So for the agenda today, we've got it pretty stacked for the next sort of 75 minutes. We're going to break this down into six different sections. The first section, of course, is going to be covering off on the overall scheduling capabilities within Dynamics 365 and a field service organization. And then looking at the overview of the actual schedule board. For those that are familiar with the field service solution, the schedule board is obviously the core element of the field service solution, enables you to interactive and schedule your resources and the work that's coming through. Then we're going to conduct a quick knowledge check. Knowledge check is just going to be a multi-choice question based on the content that we've provided in the previous two sections. Before we then follow on a little bit further into the ability to schedule and reschedule work items, as well as then reschedule and move items throughout the schedule board as well. And then we'll close off again with another knowledge check with another multiple choice question as we go through. After each section, we'll actually go through a demonstration. So you'll sort of see obviously what I present in terms of the content, but then Jackie's going to take you through a demonstration live on the actual schedule itself. And hoping that the demo gods are with us, that when we go through these requirements and we go through these sort of capabilities, that it's going to be executed flawlessly as part of that process. So this is a live and interactive session. You do have access to the chat and the live chat section there, and we do encourage you to ask questions as you go along. We will try and actually answer some of those questions as we present the content, but obviously between myself and Jackie, we'll get to it as soon as we can. But we do encourage you, where possible, if you've got some concerns or questions about what we've actually asked as we're going along, please put them into the chat window. So the first section we're going to cover off on is an overview of scheduling capabilities. So for those of you that have been part of field service organizations or have worked with customers that actually have organizations that manage resources in the field for carrying out, you know, various different sort of tasks from repairs, maintenance, from healthcare environments and the like, there are a number of different sort of workforce sort of constraints that I guess a field service organization might go through that they need to be able to consider before they actually schedule work to resources. So some of these might be, when is an item ready to be scheduled? So is it something we're going to schedule today? We're going to do it next week? What is the demand of the customer? And what is the capacity, I guess, of our field service resource pool to be able to act on it? Who is also qualified to work on this item? So not all jobs that come through to be scheduled are actually going to be qualified by every single person that's in the resource pool. So effectively, we need to ensure that we can actually understand who should get the work based on the skills that are required. When does it need to be done? Does it need to be done today? Does it need to be done tomorrow? Is it high priority or is it something that can be done the week after? So these are some of the considerations. But I guess even at the customer level, what would influence my decision on which resource I should schedule? Is it a preferred resource? Is it a resource that I actually go and actually perform this work day in, day out? Is it a regular customer that I want to have VIP type treatment? And then on the flip side, how do I deal with cancellations or requests to reschedule? And when those sort of demands come through, how am I going to, you know, sequentially sort of manage this and sort of allocate work where required so it seems like it's seamless into the to the customer's eyes? And I guess the lastly there is how and what can schedule changes impact? So if we have a technician that doesn't turn up for a particular day because they've called in sick, how are we going to allocate all that other work off to other resources or reschedule where required? So these are the considerations and capabilities, I guess, that are of concern from every organization. But when we're looking at it, we're looking about how does Dynamics 365 actually start to ease of some of those concerns and provide some automation to some of the organizations to be able to execute on this. But before we get too far into this, and before we dive too deep into the actual product itself, I've always sort of found that it's worthwhile looking at the foundations of what it means to schedule, or understand the scheduling capabilities and what it means within sort of field service as part of the Dynamics 365 suite. So when we look at it, when we do some scheduling, we are predominantly looking at it from a resource perspective. Who is the end user that's going to go out and perform the job? Now, 9 times out of 10, that may be an individual or a crew of people or a number of people performing it, but it also could be a piece of equipment that's required to be able to put out on site as well to perform a particular job. Or it might be a facility like a workshop or a room or a training room that needs to be required to be booked. But these are all what we deem resources, and they're what we're looking for in terms of who is allocated to be able to do the job or has the capability and the availability to do these jobs. So it's cognizant to understand that each of these resources are tied to a location, and they also have a time frame or a availability window that they actually work within. So whether it be sort of 8 till 4 or 9 till 5, or they're available on weekends, etc. But another part to consider here is the characteristics or the skills that are associated with the resource. So what kind of certifications do they have? What kind of skills do they actually employ? So that we sort of know who are our capable resources for the different types of work, whether they are electricians, whether they are fitter interners, whether they are doctors, whether they are nurses. There are various different requirements that each of these resources must have that we need to know of before we give them work to do. Now, on the right-hand side over here, we have the concept of an incident type, or what we call templates, work order templates. It's a definition of repeatable work that we do time and time again for an organization. Now, this might be a scheduled maintenance routine. It might be something which might be an installation requirement, but we sort of need to know how long will that piece of work take. And obviously, even with that piece of work, are there any products or parts or services that we need to be able to apply when we go and do that work? And then, you know, are there any sort of finite sort of list of tasks that I need to do when I actually get out on site to be able to, you know, sort of tick off in terms of inspections, et cetera. But most importantly, there's sort of characteristics that are required to go against this type of work. So what are the skills required for somebody to do an installation that might need electrical sort of care to be able to work as well? So these are the things that we want to build up as templates within an organization so that we know that these are the repeatable things we do day in, day out, and make it easier when we define what we call a work order. Now, a work order is an implementation of a template. It is that definition of the job for a particular customer based on a particular sort of charge rate and location of where they need to go. And it may be derived from things like, you know, an incident that may have occurred or a sales opportunity that might have been presented, or it might be scheduled maintenance that we go through and act on once or twice a week or even monthly or even 6 monthly. But the last part of this really is where we sort of bind the two together, where we take the resource and we take the work order and we collate them together into a booking, which is a commitment to say that this resource is going to turn up at this particular time to perform this type of work that we agreed to. And that's where we call the booking that sort of comes into it. So these four elements of the scheduling component between the resource, the incident types, the work orders, and the bookings are the foundations of what we need in order to make sure that we actually have the ability to schedule work and actually do it in an efficient manner. So when we look at the scheduling approaches, there's predominantly three different types that we have in most organizations and even beyond capabilities around Dynamics 365 in other organizations that use other tools. There are three elements we sort of look at. One is manually, and this is where the dispatcher or the scheduler, depends on what they like to be called themselves inside the organization, whether he or she has that option to manually identify the people that they want to schedule work to accordingly. Now, that might just be that they know that that resource is available, they know that resource is in the right location, or they know that that resource is a preferred requirement for that particular customer, so I'm just going to allocate work to them directly. And that's what we call a manual approach to scheduling. In the middle here, we have a semi-automated approach, which is how we can sort of potentially qualify a list of resources and shortlist them based on a predefined set of criteria that we know equates to the type of job that we're trying to schedule them to. So we can then take a pool of maybe 100 resources and sort of streamline it down to maybe 5 or 6 so that decision-making process for the dispatcher is made a little bit easier. And we'll go into a bit more detail as we go through these. The last part is a fully automated approach. And this is where we sort of use algorithms, sort of goals and constraints to be able to define a model that enables the system to understand the demand of the work that's coming in and automatically schedule that information out to resources directly without even having a touch point from the dispatcher themselves. So this is ideally the nirvana of where most scheduling organizations or field service management organizations are trying to get to. Now, within Dynamics 365, we have the ability to do all three of those, from manual scheduling to using our semi-automated approach using the scheduling assistant, or using our automated scheduling optimization engine called Resource Scheduling Optimization, or more commonly termed as RSO, as I'll go through this particular process. Each of these three implement those exact approaches, and each of those three give different capabilities to the dispatcher to be able to perform the scheduling requirements that they need to get their job done. You just got to remember, not all organizations can actually adopt a fully automated scheduling approach when they've actually only just sort of starting out, or they're actually having thousands, I guess, of different resources. So there's different constraints that need to be considered for which approach they take. When we look into it at a little more granular sort of level, the manual scheduling with the schedule board obviously provides the ability for a particular dispatcher to look at the schedule board. Now, for those that haven't seen it before, there's an image here on the right-hand side. But down the middle here, we have a list of resources. Across on the right-hand side, we have a list of all the current allocation of work. And down the bottom here, we have a list of all the unscheduled work items. But what you can see here that there's a gap in between all these other jobs. And this is obviously a spot where resource Dan Jackson has the availability here to take on some work. So from a scheduler or a dispatcher's point of view, they can actually go down the bottom here and find the item of work that they want to schedule and then drag it across directly and drop it on top of that available gap. That's the manual approach to scheduling to a particular resource based on work that's been defined. Now, the next part we talked about was the semi-automated approach using the schedule assistant. Now, what we will be able to do here is to actually use the smarts, I guess, of the system to be able to predefine and qualify a list of resources based upon a particular job that I'm looking at. So for this particular work order here, this work order 100770 is a work order that we know that is going to take basically 1 hour and 5 minutes to complete. And it has, obviously additional information in terms of the priority, in terms of the way it's actually going to be set up. But what we're going to be able to do is say, well, based on the characteristics of that particular work order, tell me, a schedule board or scheduling assistant, which resources are best suited for me to take on this work. So what that actually does is it goes and runs the algorithms behind the scenes. It goes and looks at all the resources based on their availability. It also looks on the current location and then shortlists a set of resources that have the available time slot to pick up and take on that work. Now, one thing to be considerate of here is down the bottom on the right-hand side here, it's a bit hard to see, but it also calculates the travel time specifically for where it's going to take from where that current resource finished their last job and how long it's going to take to drive to get to the next job. So it's cognizant of calculating that time and adding it to the time completion of when they should arrive and when that may be considered. Now, what that's actually done is now shortlisted to only 4 resources who can basically do this, potentially out of 100 of who's best suited to do that job. We know that each of those resources have the right skills, but what they're going to do now is the dispatcher, it's now just got to make a decision between only 4 resources to who takes the job. The last part here is obviously the fully automated approach, as I said, using RSO, which is our optimization engine. Now, what this has the option to do is to predefine a schedule, which has a set of goals and constraints that enables you to define a scope of what are all the work that has been need to consider. Now, this might be all new jobs that come in, all new work orders, and the pool might be all available resources in a particular area. But what it's going to start looking at is, well, how do we make sure that we can maximize the technician's working time? How can we minimize the amount of travel time they have so they're not driving from one end of town to another to get to the next job? And how can we ensure that the highest priority items that come in are scheduled first? So these can be either one or many different types of jobs that can be set up and that can be running here. But what the really does get the ability to do is to have the insurance that the dispatcher doesn't actually have to manually or even interact with the scheduling component between the job coming in and the resource taking the booking. What we might jump over to now is get Jackie to go through some of these live on the system as it is and go through in a little bit more sort of detail. So I guess as the questions come up, if you do have any questions about what I've presented or what Jackie's about to present, please put it into the chat. But otherwise, over to you, Jackie.
Thank you very much, Dan. And Dan already introduced what is the concept around the field service and around our schedule board. So my next job is want to give you an overview around what is field service and how does it looks like, and what is user interface, and what is the algorithm that is we are using for schedule board. And what you can see over here is my Dynamics 365. So people online probably familiar with Dynamics 365. So this is for field service. What I started with my dashboard. And what Dan mentioned, that is for field service, especially for dispatcher, we have a lot of foundation or we have a lot of this metadata that is already pre-configured for those scheduling and for dispatcher. So examples, we can be like you have work order over here, for example. So this is for you to manage those work orders, or we call that is all demands. So what is the dispatcher's job do is to balance the supply and the demand. So the demand is come here as like work order, as cases, as those job tasks. So what we are using is we're using a schedule board to balance them. And we also, and the other one is you can also think about is how we can manage those resources. So all the resources over here, you can also to manage them. So this is our overview around how we can leverage Dynamics 365 Field Service to manage those foundation. So next one I want to show you, as Dan mentioned, that is we have three ways to manage schedule board. And the number one is manually to do that. You can have drag and drop to do the scheduling. And that one is we have semi-auto, that is we use our schedule board. You can easily to also to manage your schedule board. So what you see now, right now, is our schedule board. So this is what is, it is the workbench for scheduler or for dispatcher, whatever you want to call it, or you can call that is the command room. So what the people usually do is you have this board is for you, is you can manage all the jobs that is coming to you, on the way to you. So this is your the demand. And we also have the supply side. So the supplier is, we can have this filter view. You can see all the resources. And what is the schedules result is actually we are in this part is in the detail view. So the mainly the schedule board is like these three views. If you look at how is the board looks like is after we run the scheduling, after we do the daily dispatch, all the things is looks like the every resources over here. What you see is like I have the Dan, I have David, I have myself, and I have multiple resources over here. So the schedule board's result is either you are using semi schedule assistant or you are using fully automated RSO. So the schedule board will look like this. This is after we running RSO system, give me this result. So this is not, we only do one way dispatch or we scheduling. We also use this to interact with your field technician. So for example, over here, I can see multiple work order was assigned to David. So this one is a red color. We use color to manage them. Different color means they are in different status. Once the technician is on the way or in the field, they can start to say, hey, I'm now traveling to the customer side. I'm now is already in customer side. I'm doing inspection. I'm doing the installation. All these kind of things is actually will reflect to the command center room. So the dispatchers knows where is my technician, what are they doing, and what is the status right now. So with fully automated RSO, basic system, what the system tells you is system can help you to regroup those work orders, to minimize those travel time, and also to maximize your working hour. So for example, over here, you can see these two work orders. So for some of the work order over here, you can see the travel time. If you look at my screen over here, this is like a 10 minutes travel time. This one is got like a 10 plus meetings of travel time, but the work order, these two work order is very surprising that there's no travel time, because system, what system do is they consolidate those work orders and dispatch them to the same technician to minimize the travel time. So they can do this opportunistic kind of job. So this helps them to minimize their time on the way. And through this, you can also see some of the key informations, because as a dispatcher, usually they will manage like a 10 to hundreds of the resources. So for one of the dispatcher, usually they will have multiple dispatch board. So for example, for me over here, I have multiple dispatch board over here. For example, I have my, like a, how can I manage crew? So I use this crew and pool facility to manage that. Can I manage multiple territory? Yes, I can do that. So I have, like I have different territories over here. I have Sydney, I have Singapore. I have used RSO to run that. So this board is mainly for dispatcher to manage in long term. They can look at the planning, can look at the forecast. They can also run near term, let's say this week or next week, I mean, in the week's view. They can also run that in daily view. So for the long term view, you can leverage our RSO to help you to balance supply and demand. But for the near terms, let's say for next 3 days, for today, if there is urgent water, what should I do? So the question answering is, you can have your daily view. For example, I have my daily schedule. So when I run daily schedule, they find a resource or using schedule assistant come to the picture. So people will use that to complement the automated scheduling. to do the scheduling in the daily base or inter-day base. So for example, if I change my board to the daily view, you can see the daily view is looks like this. So people can see here. For Bob himself, I have three work orders for him. I can see, I can drag and drop, I can do manual, I can do the same manual to do the job. But for the long term, they can use RSO to do the scheduling. So this is how we leverage the schedule board to run long-term, near-term, and short-term. So if I look at the demand side, so it's also very, very handy for the scheduler or for dispatch to manage those requirements. So for example, over here, you can see I have three requirements over here. You can see my optimized schedule board. You can see my, for next 3 days, for the next 1 day, I mean for today. So basically, you use this can help you to do the daily job. If you have any critical, mission critical job that is coming, you want to assign to someone immediately. Actually, you can leverage, you can define any views as you can. So with this is an overview around how you can leverage RSO, three ways of dispatching to do the job. So use fully automated RSO, use our semi-automated to schedule assistant, or manually drag a job to do the scheduling job. So with this, I hand over to Dan. We talk about how we can initialize our schedule board.
Thank you, Jackie. Okay, so just coming back there now, obviously now into the next section, we're looking now back into, I think we actually, before we move on, I think there might be just a question that come through before from Drew Thompson. Is there a sample data set that can be imported into field service to show the board and learn how to work with those options? So absolutely, as part of the prerequisites for doing this particular course, there is some material there that actually highlights how you can download and install some sample data. But I also do make a recommendation too that you don't actually need a lot of data to get the schedule board to work. You may only have, say, 5 resources, and you may only have about 10 work orders coming through. And once you've actually got it set up with the characteristics and the templates, as we talked about before, you can get the scheduling assistant to actually work quite well. So it's not about a large amount of data to get the capabilities or to learn how the schedule board works. But thanks for your question, Drew. So when we look back at the overview of the schedule board, we've had a bit of a brief look, and I guess we've sort of had a bit of a look now in terms of the way it's sort of laid out. But I guess dispatchers in organizations typically need a lot of information to make the decisions around, you know, where they're going to schedule work and how they're actually going to do so. Different organizations are different sizes too. Some might only have 20 resources and others might have potentially hundreds of resources and even thousands of resources in some of the customers we're dealing with day in, day out. So it's all about sort of having a lot of information on a page to be able to have the focus on not only just a subset of resources, but potentially all of them where needed. And as sort of as Jackie's gone through previously, there's multiple views of the schedule board that you can have to aggregate data in different ways. So you can have a perspective on different zones, territories, or regions, or even different types of roles with different types of characteristics to be able to have that sort of understanding. So don't be thinking that we actually need to present all the information on a single page. But ensuring that we've actually got the appropriate resources, one of the key elements here really is to understand from a dispatcher's point of view. And if you take the technology away from this and think about, well, day to day, they used to have to do this manually, or they might be doing this by paper or by spreadsheets. But the question still stands, what's currently scheduled? You know, what needs to be scheduled? Who is currently available at any given point in time? And all more importantly these days is like, what does the traffic look like? If I've got to cross town to actually get to the next job, how long is it actually going to take? And if there's congestion, am I going to make my next job on time? Or will that sort of push everything out, you know, if I'm an hour late to one of my jobs? So when we look at the schedule board, we're sort of breaking it down into four key areas. And I guess Jackie's probably gone through some of this in the demonstration, but I'll go through it quickly again. We have the elements to sort of break it down into four key areas. So the requirements panel at the bottom of the screen down here obviously meets the demand of all the unscheduled work that's come through. Now, this may or may not be work orders. It may very well be jobs. It may very well be, sort of consultations that we might be able to do from a healthcare perspective. But it is different types of work that come through where we've made a commitment to a customer to be able to perform a piece of work. Now, on the left-hand side, we have the hourly view or the filter and the map panel. Now, what we have this ability to do is to use these characteristics within this section here to be able to filter out and drill down into the information we present on the board. Now, that might be on a particular region. It might be looking at a particular sort of territory role, characteristics, or even the type of resources we're looking at, differentiation between individuals or pieces of equipment, so that we can actually set these filters up and present the board in a different way, and then save the board to be able to be presented for continuous use. Now, on the right-hand side, we have the details pane. Now, when I select a particular booking, it'll actually present all the information that's relevant to that booking down the left-hand side. Things from the start time, the end time, estimated arrival, etc. But then, moreover, the most important part, or at least in my opinion, the most important part to most dispatchers is the schedule calendar itself, which is a representation of all the resources that are available to take on work. Their available time slots, as you can see, between the grayed out areas and the white areas on the schedule board is where they're currently available to perform work. And then what's the jobs that have been allocated between them so they actually know what their current commitment is. Now, there's a little bit more detail in terms of their full capacity in the percentage sort of side than you get down the middle here, but they're sort of more minute sort of details that might be effectively to understand that a given resource is actually 70% at their capacity. So we sort of know from a reporting perspective that they've only got 30% more capacity to be able to take on. So up the top of the actual schedule board itself is what we call the schedule board toolbar. Now, I mean, it's self-explanatory in itself that it actually has all the controls and buttons to be able to manipulate the actual schedule board in its entirety. Things from in terms of the view, which is whether I want to see this in hours, days, weeks, or months, when I want to look at the actual the layout of the board, whether I want it horizontal, vertical, in a list view, or even in a map view. So replace the calendar with an entire map so I can actually see how that works. Now, in the center here, we've obviously got the date range. Now, this might be that I want to see all of the availability from my resources for a single week, a single day, or multiple months in advance, or multiple weeks in advance, depending on what I need to be able to do. Now, I can obviously toggle that control and change my view at any, you know, dynamically at any point in time. I have the book button on here, which is obviously to make bookings directly from the schedule board based on a requirement that I already have. And I got this action segment and the sort section. So we'll get into the action segment in a minute, but that basically gives me the controls to be able to perform actions against the allocation of work to resources. And the sort is obviously given that, be able to sort the items on the schedule board by priority or by name, etc. Now, having a look at the schedule board actions, there's a couple of key controls that are available to a dispatcher at any given point in time. And it might be that they're actually looking to try and get driving directions from one job to another for a given resource. And I might be able to calculate that and send that information out to a resource and give it to them on their mobile device or send it to them by email or by text if I needed to be able to go down that sort of path. I can actually move bookings from one day to another. That could be from a single resource or multiple resources or all resources and shift them all from one day to the next. Now, you sort of think about this where a technician may be fallen ill, they can't turn up for a day. So what we're going to do is move all their appointments to the next day and then basically take the entire lot and replace it to the exact same time the following day. Other features there, like around sort of printing the schedule board, might be doing a resource planning session. We want to take all resources in and we're going to print the schedule board out for a week in advance or 3 days in advance and actually go through and review it. The last section there is around booking alerts. Now, booking alerts are predominantly there to give key information to dispatchers based on events that might occur after bookings are made or changed. And these are sort of configurable alerts that can be applied at their will. But looking back at the filter view, now this is sort of an important part because, as I said, if you've got more than 1,000 resources sort of configured within your organization, you don't want to have to scroll up and down the list all the time to try and find these resources. So you may use the filter panel to be able to go through and start defining and filtering out sort of key requirements against the resource itself. So we talked briefly before about the characteristics, what kind of skills they are. Show me those that have all got electrical certifications, or they've got building access to a particular location, or they've got a certain security clearance that they might require. You know, what roles are they? Give me all the electricians in a given territory, sort of, you know, for a given sort of state where they're actually looking after. So there's information here that allows me to configure the types of attributes that I want to drill down into the resources. So I'm only viewing the resources that I really need to apply. So when I flip that on its head and I go the other side, so we've got the filter panel, but we also have the map view. Now, the map view is obviously a graphical representation using a map to display the information that we have on a schedule board. Now, when we look at it in a little bit more detail, you can see elements like the actual pin here for unscheduled item of work, which is a pin, a red pin with a question mark. So this is a requirement or a work order that's yet to be scheduled versus the ones above it that are colored with a tick in it, which are the bookings that are already been made. Now, on the other side here, we've actually got sort of the filled in pins. They actually represent each of the resources and where they are at any given point in time. So you can see Edgar here has a purple pin, and if I look on the map here, that pin is where Edgar is currently. Now, if I click on the resource, this pin will jump on the map and I'll be able to see where that resource is. So again, the map view is just another visual representation of the way to represent all the work that's being done. I might be able to sort of see the routes that they're taking in between jobs, and I can also see traffic information as well, which is available up the top here when I click the traffic button, and I can see how detailed and how heavy the actual traffic is at any given point in time. So very useful from a dispatcher's point of view. So the quick question here, can multiple dispatchers use the schedule board at the same time? So absolutely, and I guess for a quick question on that is, as we've talked about before, there's multiple tabs that I can actually set up with different views or different filter configurations the way I want to present the data. So I can set these views up for multiple dispatchers and I can share it amongst a pool of dispatchers, or I can own one outright, or I can make my own private view that I want to use for that particular day. So that's exactly right. The multiple people and multiple dispatchers can use this at the same time and interact with the same data. So the last question down here is around sort of the requirements panel. So we've talked about this in a bit of detail. This is obviously where, as I said, all the unscheduled work is. So where all the items are that have been available to yet to be scheduled. And on the other side down here, we've got information about how long they are, the details, and this filter can be set up and the view can be sort of defined on a personal basis. But mainly when we actually pick up one of these items of work here, we see that we get the find availability button becomes available when I select one. And by clicking that, I bring up the opportunity, bring up the schedule assistant to go through and execute on that work. I've talked about the details pane before on the schedule board. So obviously you can see on the right hand side here, there's a lot of information that details exactly what that booking has been done, which is the resource that's been available to, the start and end times, the estimated travel time, any of the estimated travel durations if they're traveling between one job to another. So you'll see all that information, plus obviously locality information about where they've got to go. So this is available to the dispatcher, but it's also available to the field technician, available on their mobile application as well. So with that, I'll get Jackie to jump back through and see a lot of the in a live segment around the schedule board. And again, I ask obviously if there's any further questions, please feel free to put them into the chat and we'll try and adjust them as we go along. Over to you, Jackie.
Thank you, Dan, very much. Okay, over here, let's back to the schedule board. So what we are going to do right now is prepare your schedule board. So before we actually doing scheduling, rescheduling, and what we do is you get you familiar with schedule board. So what you'll see over here is schedule board. I just showed that one previously. So what I'm going to do is I wanted to talk about this schedule board one panel by one panel. So what you'll see over here, first one is our requirements panel. And what you see over here is my requirements. And some question is asking is, can we have the different requirements? Can we manage like other than work order? Can we have any other cases? Can we schedule that? The question answer is actually yes, you can schedule as anything as you want, not only limited to work order. So in the requirements panel, you can see all the unscheduled work order. You can also define them in different terminology. For example, some of them is for optimized scope. Some of them may be for next 3 days. Some of them maybe is for only next 1 day. You can also to filter that by, let's say some of them is urgent work order. I want to them take action immediately. So you can filter that. You can build a new panel over here, a new requirements list over here. It's very, very easy for you. So let's move to up. Let's see in the detail panel. So this detail panel, you can see all the people, all the resources over here. So here is your resources list. Again, all the resources list is you can use the filter panel or interactive map panel to define that. Later on, we will cover that. So what I'm going to see over here is I can see all my resources. As long as you can see all the resources, you can choose. We have the schedule board toolbar on the top. So this is our toolbar. Toolbar can allow you to change the view, create the view, and also you can have the new kind of look and feel. For example, over here, you can choose the view mode can change from hour mode to, let's see, daily mode or weekly mode. This also change accordingly is like a people's utilization rate. I think this is a super very important. A lot of my customers like this one very much because they want to know whether people is working. I mean, how many time is you are in field? How many time you spend on traveling? How many time you are sitting actually doing the job? So this is super important. I think a lot of companies, especially if they are managing project or they're managing like installation, weeks, months of installation, or they have break and a fix, all these kinds of things, they wanted to know utilization rates. So this is one of the key things. Another one is in this toolbar, you can also see different views. You can even see a map view. Let's look at a map view because I think a lot of people is actually very interested around the map. So this is the map around. You can zoom in, zoom out. You can see different colors, and you can see where is the people basically, and you can see where is my requirements and where is my resources as well. For example, this is my resources, and you can click this one, you can see who is this, and you can see, and if you can see some of the very interesting, there is a truck over here. So here is a truck. So the truck means it's actually one of your technicians. This is show the technician's real-time location by the GPS or by the geo information that is sent by your phone. So this actually tells you real time. And when I dispatcher try to do dispatch someone, they can based on their real time location. So I can also change to the view to the horizontal view. Let's change it back. We have our time range. You can choose weekly, monthly, or daily. So this gives you flexibility to schedule like an urgent job, interday job, or it's like a long-term planning. And we have this book button over here. This book to allow you to schedule work order. And you can also take actions from here. Actions, we will talk about the actions later on in our next step. So what I just try to let you is get familiar with this schedule board. And in schedule board, you can also have the scheduler setting. Scheduler setting let you like change the color schema, and then you can have those legend. And for example, what does the yellow means? What does the red color means? Does this one is like in travel in process? Is this one in break? This one is actually scheduled. This one is actually already in progress. So you can change those stuff, and you can also by click this, you can see we have the scheduler setting. You can define like what is my working hour, what is my time resolution, how many work orders I wanted to see, and you can also see what you want to see, what you want to hide. This will give you a lot of flexibility, then you can define your own schedule board. So get you familiar, get yourself, it's like get easy. I know where is technician, I know what color means what, so you can better to make decisions. So this can help you to make a very quick decision. So in this schedule board, one of the key parts when you prepare your schedule board is using this requirements panel. Using this requirement to filter panel to help you to filter. So this filter panel, if you look at this one, my RSO overview schedule board, if you look at this schedules filter panel, you will find a very surprising, got a three filters over here. But if I change it to one of, let's say I wanted to change my initial public view, through this, you can see I got a lot of filter over here. This means all the filters, all these kind of things is actually you can configure. You can configure that according to your requirements. So for example, it's usually the things how we configure that, how we filter the things is by characteristic. Like Dan, I still remember Dan last time told me, hey, they have like a companies that is like for healthcare industry, the people's filter is different from manufacturing, is different from assets intensive company. So all these kind of things is actually, they allow you to actually change this filter. So once you change those filter, you can say, okay, I want to filter by different roles. For example, if you are a consulting company, you'll probably say, I wanted to make sure that is we want to have like a network technician can do the things. And always you can also filter by characteristic. So characteristic is a very, very interesting thing. I saw a lot of customers actually leverage that a lot to draw to details. And for example, they may be by filter by language. Can you speak Japanese? Can you speak Mandarin? Can you speak English? You can also use like certifications. Did you pass the Dynamics 365 Field Service Certification if you are looking for a field service technical consultant? So all these filters helps you to filter those resources you can see. And then it can help you to zoom in, zoom out to see the different resources. And for example, I can see I now have 19 resources. I can filter that to say I don't want a network technician. I have more resources or I have less resources. So I can see now is the resources list. So always you can change that and then you can actually load the default filtering and then you can save current filtering as the default. So this helps you every time when you open your schedule board, you can see the same thing. And the user habit, so you are not surprised by the technicians that is listed over here. So this is how we see the technicians schedule. To see the dispatcher schedule board. Other information, like Dan said, you can see the detailed booking information. If I click any booking over here, that tells me the detailed information. I can also see the other things. So with this, I hand over to Dan. So this is, we help you initialize. Next step will be, how do we do the scheduling? So I hand
that's
over
fantastic.
To Dan to talk about the scheduling.
That's fantastic, Jackie. Thanks for that. And I probably was just going to ask you a quick question. It does sort of indicate on the schedule board there that there's a grayed out area, and you made mention about a 70% capacity. What would happen, and can you actually apply multiple versions, I guess, of that and sort of have it so that you can overbook the resources? Is that possible?
Dan, do you want to share your question on the screen? Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess, some of the questions there, I guess, around sort of, you know, when we have 70% capacity and they're already being booked, I guess the question sort of is there, is it possible to overbook a resource? You know, that we've got time zones there between sort of 8 and 4 in the morning. I assume that sometimes that a booking needs to be made after hours. Can we assign it to somebody directly during that time frame?
Oh, very good question, Dan. I think, yes, definitely you can do that. So we allow overbook if your company's policy is allow that. So you can overbook people's time, and you can also assign 2 work order or even more work order at the same time, especially when people are doing the multitask.
Yeah, oh, perfect. We've got one other question there from James, sort of quickly before we jump through to the knowledge check. Can resource schedule be synchronized to their calendars in Office or M365 in Outlook? Or would that require Power Automate to copy your meeting events back and forth? So right now, we don't actually have the ability to synchronize the work order directly into the scheduled availability. I mean, something to be considerate of is that is a personal calendar, and that sometimes you've got commitments outside of the field service requirement, which might conflict in terms of your availability. So as of today, that we don't, but certainly something in the future that we're looking at. And you're right in sort of saying using Power Automate to update events that come along and push them into a calendar is also a possibility. So thanks for that question, James. I hope that answers your question. So now we're jumping back into the presentation. We've got our first knowledge check here, and just sort of jumping through this. Now, what we're really going to do is give you a multiple choice question here that you can provide the answer to in the poll that's been made provided available. It's just a question based on the information we've presented already. So just a quick check to make sure everybody's been focused and obviously that we're presenting the right content. But the question is, which of the following schedule board components is used to display unscheduled items? Is it A, the filter and map panel? Is it B, the details panel? Is it C, the requirements panel? Or is it D, the calendar? So I guess probably over to you, Jackie. What's your thoughts on the way this sort of question should be answered and your understanding about what each of those panels makes sense?
Hi, Dan. I think this question probably is not for this group of the audience. I think this is too simple. from the people who are asking, like, use Power Automate to synchronize the calendar, all these questions is actually, I mean, our audience probably is already very, very advanced. So I think for this question, I think, let's just enumerate some of the answers over here. For example, is this one a calendar? I don't think so. A detail panel is mainly the work order details. So we talk about that, right? So this is not that one. Requirements panel, yes. Filtering and map panel is mainly not for unscheduled items. So I think the answer maybe is clear, is C. Is that an answer? Okay,
very
cool.
Good. So the answer is correct. The answer is number C. And I hope for those that were sort of answering this online and live, they actually got that same answer. So yes, the requirements panel is obviously where unscheduled work is. And that's obviously where most of the requirements are coming through to be scheduled before they go onto the schedule board. Well done, Jackie. All right, so moving right along to the next section now, we're going to talk a little bit more deeply about how we schedule and reschedule. So in most organizations, there's always a situation where things actually change in day to day. So we've got a fixed schedule, we've got people being allocated work, and then something comes along from a customer's requirement, or there's an emergency that's sort of been occurred where we need to reschedule something immediately, which means that we've already got people booked, but we need to actually fit this requirement in because of a particular circumstance. Or we might get the customer ringing up and cancelling or needing to reschedule. Or a resource, as I said before, might call in sick and needed to find a replacement. Or maybe even in between jobs, there's been an accident on the freeway and that technician is going to be late getting to the next job, but it's a high priority job, we need to get it done. So this is a dispatcher's day-to-day set of strains and decision-making process that they need to follow in order to get some of this sort of work done. And we need to ensure that the likes of Dynamics 365 and the schedule board gives us ability to be able to do those succinctly in order to get the right outcome. So the 4 methods commonly used to schedule items on the schedule board. So we've talked about the requirements panel, as we just talked about previously. We've also got the ability to schedule work from the map view, which we haven't sort of looked at the moment. But the other alternatives here is that its ability to sort of find availability in a calendar for a particular resource and block some time out, or we can book directly from the schedule board. So these are four different ways to schedule items. But when we look at it from the requirements panel, and I think we're talking about this quite a few times now, but from the requirements panel, we have a list of all the available work that needs to be done. We can select one of the items from this list and drag and drop it directly to the schedule board to against a given particular resource. Or we can use the find availability button, as you can see down here, for the schedule assistant to be enacted and find a set of suitable resources for us. When we look at it from a drag and drop perspective, because we haven't gone into a lot of this in a lot of detail yet, but we'll go through in a demonstration very shortly. But when I grab an item from the requirements panel and I drag it onto the schedule board, a couple of things happen. A dialogue appears which shows me the information specifically about the actual requirement that we're trying to schedule. Now, what you can sort of see in this particular window here is it sort of applied in red where we said we had a time promise between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. for this work to be scheduled. But because it's drag and drop, I can override any of these rules and assign it wherever I like. But a visual indication to the end user might be is that, or to the dispatcher's point of view, is that, well, hey, we did schedule this or agree to with the customer to do it between these timeframes. And because I'm trying to drop it outside of that window and it's after 11 o'clock here, it's gone and indicated that as being red. So there are rules that need to be adhered to, but in a manual drag and drop scenario, we can basically override some of those where required. And we can even bring them in, as a question before, outside of the working hours for a particular resource. With the find availability, now we've talked about this a little bit, but I guess in terms of the detail that really this provides, when I select a resource from the requirements panel and I actually execute the find availability search and the obviously schedule assistant gets enacted, it's gone through behind the scenes and run about a data crunching, I guess, against the different requirements the requirement details that we're trying to schedule and the resource requirements that we have in terms of their skill set, availability and current location and current capacity to come back with a shortlist. Now, this, as I said, when we come back into it, really comes down to providing a more succinct level of data that the dispatcher has been presented with a couple of key considerations before they commit to making the booking. So if it's highly urgent and we know that we need to get it started immediately, we can see that, you know, in this particular scenario, Dan Jackson is available to be able to meet this requirement and at 2:30 in the afternoon start this schedule. Now, if we look down at the bottom here, we saw Mika. She is able to also be able to deliver on this and can actually start before 2:30 and is only 13 minutes drive away. So there's a couple of sort of key requirements here, a key contribution or considerations, I guess, that we need to be able to present to the dispatcher so that they can now make a snap decision. So if it's not priority at all, any one of these four resources could take this work. But if it is high priority, then potentially Mika needs to get it assigned to her because she's actually going to be the shortest drive from the current location of where she is, and she can start the work, you know, sooner than anybody else. So when we're looking at it from the map view, we've talked about drag and drop and find availability. We can actually do both from the map view as well. So instead of doing it from the requirements panel, when we look at it from the map view, we can look here again on the schedule board and actually look at the map view filter here and say, okay, we've got unscheduled work over here because we've got the red pin with a question mark in it. We've got a bunch of resources over here with some available time slots on it, but what I can actually do is select that pin. It'll pop up a dialog giving me information about it. It'll tell me that there's an estimated duration of 2 hours, and I can drag that pin directly onto the schedule board and drop it against a particular resource, giving that same capability as what I've done from the requirements panel to be able to do it directly from the map view. But this time I'm actually considerate of a lot more information that's going on because I can actually see where Christy is at any given point in time. I can see where her path is back to the depot, and I can see that this requirement may be actually on the way back. So it's probably a good indication that she'll be able to do it because she's heading back that way anyway. So a little bit more visual information that's available to you by doing it from the drag and drop from the map view. Now, from the find availability, again, we can do the same thing. I can select a requirement, bring up the dialogue on here, but then I have a link down the bottom here to enact find availability, which is going to kick off the schedule assistant and go through that process again of shortlisting requirements directly to who would be suitable. So drag and drop and find availability are also available from the map view. I talked about before about blocking out time in a resources calendar. So what I might be able to do from Clarence's perspective here is to take a 2 hour block of time and associate that and drag across that on the schedule board and block that time out. Now, when I do that, I actually get the lookup dialog appear on the right-hand side, and it gives me a list of available requirements or work orders that would meet that time frame or be able to be delivered in that time frame, and match also the skill set that's available for Clarence as well. So when I select one of those work orders, it'll automatically book it in, and I click add to that and allow it to Clarence's schedule. So again, a lot more flexibility on the schedule board to manipulate and manage sort of time and effort and actually assign bookings from multiple different directions. Now, the last one here really is using the book button, as we talked about before on the toolbar. When I actually select the book button, it's going to ask me to select a requirement or an unscheduled work order. And when I do that, it's going to give me the option here to then select and drop down here of a resource that I want to actually do to specify that time. It's going to give me the ability to do a start and end time and give me a block, very similar to blocking out some time, as I said before. But then I can hit the book button and then also allocate work that way. So you've sort of seen that there's multiple ways from the schedule board to be able to do it. Now, the last two areas here around doing it directly from when I create the work order. So time and time again, we create a work order. At that point, what we're going to do is maybe just book it immediately, not have to put it into the requirements pane, actually go through and schedule it out or use RSO to pick it up. I might just want to go through and click the book button from the work order and then get a short listed set of criteria here for the resources that meet that requirement. Now, you can see here in the middle here that we've got multiple allocations for the same resource. But if you look at the start and end time, that's across different days. And that's because our search criteria from this, the schedule assistant filter view is between the 21st of the 11th to the 27th of the 11th, saying show me available resources during those 7 days or 6 days that are available to actually fill that requirement. Again, I can select the resource from there and I can click the book button and commit that work order. Now, the last part is really about you're doing it a little bit more simply. So sometimes on a call center, you might be receiving a call from a customer and you really just want to know whether or not you've got time available to meet that requirement. We can use quick scheduling now to be able to pick up that requirement, and from the person on the phone at the time can go through using a calendar view to pick the day that they say they want to commit it to and give a bunch of available resource slots or availability slots that will be able to meet that requirement. So at this point, the scheduler is not really concerned about who the resource is, but sort of knows moreover the fact that the actual they are a suitable fit, they are in the right location and they have available time, so I can book directly from the work order. So sometimes when we go through this process, the schedule assistant doesn't return any values. Now, the reason behind that is because sometimes the desired characteristics of the particular job we're trying to book does not match any of the resources that are currently available on a given day, either because they're over-allocated already, they don't have the skills required to do so, or the date and time that they're trying to actually do so falls outside the window of the time available for the resource. Now, what we can actually do here is we can go back to the schedule assistance filter pane and change those characteristics to either to tailor for the requirement to relax some of the rules on it, or we can drag and drop and forcibly assign that particular allocation or that work to that resource independently. So this is why sometimes it doesn't happen, and that might be because, as I said, the characteristics don't allow. But with that, what I might do is hand back over to Jackie. Jackie's going to go through some of those core components we talked about, the scheduling types on the schedule board, and then we'll jump back into the next section.
Thank you very much. Then just to talk about the ways that is how we can do schedule. So in my previous demonstrations, we showed how to initialize to prepare your schedule board. So the next one is how to do the scheduling. So usually the scheduling, as Dan said, we have 4 ways to do scheduling. So I want to go into show you is how is use the not the map view first. I want to go through the requirement panel first. So how you can drag and drop to manually to do the schedule. So for example, over here, I'm sitting in front of my schedule board as a dispatcher. And what I'm going to do now is I want to go to manually drag and drop. For example, I have my work order is 538. What I'm going to do is I simply drag that just to put that in my service provider number one. I put it there, and this one also tells me, if you can follow my mouse, it tells me, okay, what time is what time, the duration estimation, estimated travel time, they will calculate that for you automatically based on his previous job. So while you're over here, you can see all the work order number, the duration. Why is it actually, if you look at over here, the travel time is zero because it's actually basically there for the same customer. So if, I mean, this is a manually drag and drop. So the next one is actually you can do that is to find available resources. So this is not manual. This is using our schedule assistant. So what I'm going to do is actually, if I look at this one of my work order over here, next one, I click this find available over here. I click this find available. This will trigger to help me to find available resources. Of course, today I don't have anyone here is available. So let's see what the system recommend to me. Okay, so system recommend to me is they got a two people is available over here. One is Jackie, the other one is Jason. And it's not today, it's next Monday. If you look at the data over here, it's only available because today is Thursday. I actually got 40 booked for these four resources, is 40 booked and today and tomorrow. So system only recommend to me here to two people over here. One is Jackie, 60 minutes of travel time. Another one is Jason, is 11 minutes of travel time. I can also look at my schedule board to even find more details like other available time. For example, the Tuesday is also free for them, for both of them. So this is very, very simple for me. What I'm going to do is I simply click this book. So the job was assigned to Jackie. As Dan said, sometimes when you run this, you will find, hey, there is no resource available. A lot of times I got a customer call me, said, hey, Jackie, I do this, why this is not coming? So the reason is usually coming is because of this filter. So this filter is actually do help you to filter down, but also sometimes that is will make some, sometimes there is no resource available. For example, if I wanted to go to say, hey, if I say, over here is work location. I mean, the usual suspect if the resource is not come back is work location. Because sometimes it is you say is on site, if you change to that to let's say a facility, change to the location agnostic, that means you will get even more resources come up. The other one is the radius, because this is using real-time location. So that is sometimes it's people like if you set the radius is too low, then they won't come over here. And the other one is like a search start and end. This is actually tells you what is your search range. If you enlarge that, you will find more results. As well as the usual suspects is like a characteristic. If I remove that one, if you search, you can find even more. So this is typically how we troubleshoot if you cannot find it. And for example, I make my filter is actually less that restrict. It tells me I got four resources right now. Of course,
Jackie. We have a question come in from the audience just saying, when does the schedule respect current traffic? So when we're trying to calculate travel times, so we're making a booking, does the schedule respect current traffic?
Yes, very, very good. Very, very good question, because usually when we have this, when we have run the schedule board, they usually will get those map and then get the average travel time. If you are like taking into account of the current traffic, you can actually use real-time map and then to call that to give you the real-time estimator arrival ETA. So you can do that.
Perfect.
It can take into account. Okay, so we showed that is like we did the manual drag and drop. We did the find availability, use schedule assistant. The next one is actually, I mean, this can be done with requirements panel over here. It can also do that. You can do same thing through the map. So if I'm going to the map, I can see the similar things. I can drag and drop. I can see where is the job is there. If I move to the week, my current week, I move to today, I can see all my this work order with the question mark. That means they haven't been scheduled yet. I can click them. I can drag and drop. Same way to do that. I can also see this drag and drop. I can also simply click this. And then I can find availability. Same thing as what you do with the requirements panel. So the next one.
Just conscious of time there, Jackie. I think we're giving about 15 minutes to go. I guess, was there anything else more that we probably need to cover off on that before we sort of try and get the remaining sessions in?
Cool, thanks. Okay, so I wanted to highlight one thing. I think probably that is more important. That is, as you mentioned, that is we have four ways to do the scheduling. So direct book from work order is one of the key things. I mean, people supposed to know that is when they are in the call center, when there's a sales rep in front of customer wanted to make appointments. You can also expose that to your portal, customer portal, so they can even customer can self-select what is available time. So what we do over here is if you look at this work order, you can see the work order status, you can start a book from here, you can start to running this. So I conscious of time, I just wanted to hand over to Dan, and then we can talk about the rescheduling and then scheduling how to find the available resources through the schedule board.
Thanks, Jackie. That was a great demo. And I guess sort of moving on, we're probably coming on to our last segment now. So we'll go through some of these sort of core components again. But when we're looking at this from a reschedule and sort of moving items, I'm sort of keen to understand that you've sort of seen there's a lot of rich capability in the schedule board itself. But at some point in time, it's going to happen that results where we needed to be able to have to, you know, A, reschedule a booking, or we have a conflict with, or a sudden conflict, I guess, with another customer sort of meet needs or demands. Or more commonly, like as I said, a resource can't make it into work. So a technician calls in sick, or they're on a job and they haven't quite completed that job and they need about an extra hour. But as a result, that pushes everything back subsequently for the remaining work they have for that day. So to be able to reschedule and move items is obviously a key function from a dispatcher's point of view. So there are basically three different ways that we can go about sort of rescheduling and or substituting sort of bookings, I guess, from against an existing booking made with a resource to other resources that are available to do the work. So we can either rebook, we can substitute a resource, or move items to a different day. So we've talked briefly about some of the actions that can be formed on the schedule board, but when we sort of look at it in a bit of detail, if I was to rebook or having to rebook a particular booking that's already been made, and if we sort of look down here that Clarence has actually got a particular booking, or we have a booking there that needs to be rebooked to another time, I right-click and select rebook. Now, what this is going to do is effectively enact the schedule assistant again, but instead of actually looking at from a book perspective or for a fine availability, we're going to look for availability for somebody to rebook. And you can see that basically everything just sort of changes to the point of actually either booking it directly, we've got the rebook button here, or the rebook and close down the bottom. So again, same functionality, but for the purposes of taking the booking away from one person and reallocating it to another. This sort of looks into the other areas around substituting resources. So sometimes a resource may already have a booking in an afternoon, but they're currently tied up on an existing job. So what we're going to do is substitute their subsequent jobs to another resource. And we need to actually find a substitute to be able to do that. Now, if we go through this process, we may actually know who the substitute resource might be because we know who's currently available, and through that tribal knowledge that dispatcher has, we can make that determination and assign it directly to that given resource. But in other circumstances here, we might want to go through the process where we don't actually know who's best to take it on. But what we can do is actually select the actual job, look for a substitute resource, and at the top here, we've got this find substitution button. As opposed to individually picking the resource and assigning it here and doing a reassign, when we click find substitution, it enacts the schedule assistant again. And again, we come up with the button up here that says substitute. So reusing all of the same capabilities that we can use for when we actually make the booking, but we can also go through the process of rebooking or substituting as a means to simply do it within the same schedule board as well. So the last part here is around sort of moving bookings to a different day. Now, when we move bookings for a particular day, we might want to move them not only from today to tomorrow, but we might want to make it through to the following Tuesday from the current Tuesday. So we can pick the source date, the destination date, but when we do it, we're moving all of the actual bookings for a given resource or multiple resources for that same instance. So when we do that, what we don't want to do is move bookings that are either in progress or currently, you know, are traveling towards them or aren't anything other than the booking status of being scheduled. So what we can do is actually specify what statuses we want for the current bookings that have been made on the board based on what current status they have and move them from one day to another, which is, you know, sort of obviously a great capability to do so. Now, obviously, if you have some of them that are outside of just the scheduled sort of status, you can actually incorporate various different types here. And that can move an entire day's worth of work to the following week or the following day. So with that, we'll go through a quick demonstration for that. This will be the last demonstration of the session here, and then we'll finalize with one more knowledge check. Now, again, if there's any other questions that have been assigned, please put them back into the chat window, and we'll try and address them as we go through. Over to you, Jackie.
Thank you, Dan. So let's back to the schedule board. And what we do is we already set up our schedule board. We did our scheduling. And so the next step is when the things is happen, the people is delayed, people is off duty. And when there is an urgent order is coming, I probably need to reshuffle or reschedule what I do. So what I'm going to do right now is let's say any work order that is customer calling, that is customer cancel that. So what I'm going to do is I actually simply can put the work order, can right click over here. You can see, you can change the status. You can also rebook. You can find the substitute resources. You can switch to the different board. So this is actually very, very handy for you, especially for a dispatcher or for a scheduler. So let's try rebook. So I try to rebook this one. What the system is will really do is it will launch the schedule board, schedule assistant, and tells me who is actually available. So if I try to rebook that, system actually propose these two for me, say there is two possibly, you can rebook them, find them. I mean, this is similar to using the schedule board, the rebook, the find availability capabilities. So I escape the search. The next one is actually find substitute. So for example, if I have a work order over here, I try to find a substitute resources. What I do is I have two ways to do that. I click this, the substitute, the resources. I usually have the two ways to do that. Find the if you can see, probably mouse is too small. If you can see over here, one is find substitution. And over here, you can direct type. If you know who is the technician who can do that, then you can immediately, you can find the resources from here. Or you can click this button from here. You can actually to launch the schedule assistant to help you to find. So let's do it. Let's to find the substitution. Let's first do that is to type the people's name. For example, I can search. I can assign from this Jason. If I know who is Jason or I know my resources, I can direct assign. Simply click resign. This work order will be go and then for the other technician. So the work order is actually gone from this Jason's schedule board and then to the other person. So if I, let's see, find another resources over here, I can also find a substitution. I need to find a substitution. So this system will launch schedule assistant and then it will tell me who is available. So this is the schedule, the work order is actually 354, is 2 hours, there's nobody is available actually. I actually can change, and when these things happen, I change my territory to looking for more resources that is available for this. And this job is actually restricted to only Jason can do that. Since I remove those filter, just to be.
So Jackie, I guess there's a question here. Is it possible to assign a job to a resource that already has a job booked at the same time?
Yes, it can. If you allow overlap. So if you look at the filter, there is a low overlap. So this will help you to actually can assign the job to the same person. So what I'm going to do is now I can assign that and a substitute to the service provider number one. So then the job will move them from here. So this is sometimes we do in the different ways to assign the job from one technician to the other. So with this, I actually close my very simple substitution. So the next step is actually sometimes they said, hey, I have all job is done, all the inter-day, the kind of urgent order was assigned to someone, but sometimes they will have some work order that couldn't be finished. I need to reassign to the other technicians or I need to move to the other day. So what do we do is we throw the actions on the top. If you can see over here, I have an action over here. So what I do is I click the action. I can say move all the bookings to different day. So I click this, they will say, yeah, you wanted to start all the, it will look at all the resources on the schedule board and then say that you want us to remove that from one source data to another destination data. So I said, move it further, let's say move. And then you will choose a book status. So usually people usually will do like a committed work order, they will do scheduled work order, they will also do choose the scheduled, but not started yet. So we use this, I click OK, system will look at like how many work orders is there, then they will move them to the different data. So this is how we actually move them from one day to another. So this is all for those backlog work orders that is you needed to move. So here is job is done. If you look at my schedule board, 11:13 booking has been moved. If you look at my data over here, it's all empty right now. So we move to the next one.
That's great, Jackie.
Thank you. So with this, I close my demonstration. So what do we do in our demonstration? We covered around, first is set up your schedule board. The next step is doing the scheduling. Scheduling got three ways. You can either run semi-manual, you run manual, you run fully RSO. And then at the end, we deal with those leftover. We deal with those needed to do substitute. So with this, I hand over to Dan.
Thanks very much, Jackie. That's been great to try and condense as much as we can into these demonstrations. Obviously, we could spend hours doing this, but obviously the time is with us. But kicking on now, I guess, to the last knowledge check. So same premise as before. Obviously, we're going to ask a question, multiple choice. Hopefully, everyone's being paid super attention and have gone through and be able to quickly answer this out. But there's a poll with it that's been sent out with your answers. But the question is, which of the following options for scheduling an item from the schedule board uses the scheduling assistant? Is it A, find availability? Is it B, blocking time on the resource calendar? Is it C, dragging a requirement pin from the calendar? Or is it D, clicking the book button on the schedule board? So I guess, Jackie, we're going to test your knowledge. Once everybody puts their answers in, what do you think the answer to this question might be?
Okay, I think this one is actually worth to a try, because when I look at this, I think when I look at this question before, I almost make a mistake. So when I look at this, I think I can easily quickly to eliminate some of the answers over here. For example, the number B is actually block time from the resource calendar that is only blocking, right? So you block time and then link that with a work order. So this is not a schedule assistant. And the number C, drag a requirements pin from the calendar. So this is basically the manually booking. So this is not schedule assistant either. So when I look at the number A and the number D, they are very, very close, because the number D can also launch the schedule assistant. But if you say find availability, definitely this will be the very more direct answer from my point of view. But I think a number question D also very close. So I choose number A.
That's good. I mean, if I look here at the results coming through, I think 73% of people have gone with you for section A, but we've also got some people on answer B and D. So you're right in saying that option A is find availability that enacts the scheduling assistant. Obviously, that's what the schedule assistant's sort of born to do. But D is sort of very close when you click the book button, probably more over from the work order than it is the schedule board, because when we click the book button, we're actually looking to associate it with a requirement. But that looks great, and I think a lot of people have sort of have been following along, and a majority of the people are answering find availability. So that's great. So listen, that really brings us to the end of the session today. I know we're sort of all about our time here, but in summary, I guess what we're really trying to do today is actually look at the multiple ways that you can, you know, you can book work orders and use, as from a dispatcher's point of view, use the scheduling board to schedule work. Items can be placed on the schedule board using drag and drop. As I said, we still want to maintain the basic sort of capabilities that people are used to with allocating and assigning work to individuals based on what they know. But obviously, we can also use the ability to leverage the schedule assistant, which is giving that first stage sort of approach to be able to automate some of the decision-making processes to give you a preferred list of people based on their qualifications, locations, and current availability. But so your circumstances around scheduling items can vary. It's important for people who are responsible for dispatching items to identify the best way to schedule and depending on what is required. So out of all the various different demonstrations and all the capabilities we've shown today, we're not really trying to say that there's only one way that you can schedule and only one way that you can maintain and manage an organization for field service. And it's not only on the basis of you doing this from a technician's point of view as well. We can do a lot of this for various different other industries around sort of healthcare and public sector and inspections and maintenance and repairs. So there's a lot of sort of extensibility that this scheduling capability could be presented to many different organizations around sort of field service. So with that, let's take a look at some of the resources that we've sort of got. So again, this entire session is based off the Learn module for managing sort of field service for Dynamics 365. But this can be actually found, the details about this module, if you want to go through your own self-paced at aka.ms/LRN247. And also we've got the Learn Live content coming up. So the entire recording of this particular session plus many other sessions are going to be available through aka.ms/LearnLive. And we're going to be talking about a bit of an excitement sort of event that sort of we're launching with that coming on the 15th of March. But we also do encourage you to please go through the session evaluation. Obviously, for both myself and Jackie, we'd love to sort of hear your feedback on how we presented the content. Was it useful? Did you follow it? Did it give you the experience and expectations that you were expecting from this? But there's also our Cloud Skills Challenge. So this is a sort of initiative that we sort of put forward that gives you the ability to earn a free Microsoft certification exam by completing some of the challenges. Now, there's many different sort of categories this is sort of set up. And if you go to the aka.ms Ignite CSC official rules, you sort of understand how you can sort of engage with that and sort of build your skills and challenges around sort of at that cloud capability. But lastly, as I said, this is the area that we really wanted to focus on today. As of the 15th of March, we are starting a new concept called Learn Live. You'll sort of find this, as I said, at aka.ms/learnlive. This will have the recordings of each of the existing sort of capabilities and presentations we've done for Ignite, but you'll find weekly brand new content being presented in a live manner, same as this. So you can join in all these live sessions, go through the learn content that's available there, hone your skills and ask questions from expertise, like the likes of Jackie and myself when we go through and present these contents. But I really do hope that you've actually enjoyed the session today. I thank you all for giving us your attendance and the questions that you've asked from all around the globe today, we've sort of seen. We appreciate your time and effort. We hope to see you again shortly.